Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that the church is the conscience of the nation. Well, how is the nation doing these days? How is the church doing these days? How is the conscience of the nation doing these days? We certainly see America adrift in these particular times. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest right now is Charlie Rodriguez, who wrote a book called Who Defines Morality? You can learn more about Charlie and his ministry at tanglewoodgroup.org. Charlie, thank you for joining us on the program. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, always good to be with you, Jerry.
Okay, so tell us about this book, Who Defines Morality? And before you do that, let me just ask you about that quote I just said from Martin Luther King Jr., that the church is the conscience of the nation. So if the church kind of muzzles itself, you know, then the whole society loses out, does it not?
It does, Jerry, and there are reasons for that, and I go into a lot of these reasons when I give my lectures. But the title of my book is Who Defines Morality, God or State? And obviously, from my perspective, and yours too, Jerry, it is God who defines it. Now, God gives that authority to the church because we teach from the Bible, his authoritative word. And that's, you know, something that Protestants and Catholics alike certainly would agree on. But, Jerry, in my lectures, I'm very clear about there are three questions that I ask right up front because I realize when you talk about church and state, there will always be an individual or group of individuals telling the pastor just or the lecturer just preach the gospel, and that we should preach the gospel. But how is the gospel to be presented? And so it should be about the right understanding of justification and sanctification. And no one says that better than Spurgeon in his sermon, A Call to Holy Living, when he says, sanctification must not be forgotten or overlaid by justification. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord. If a man continues to live an ungodly life, his life will not justify him. So it's very clear that when we present the gospel, we have to present, Jerry, justification and sanctification at the same time. Unfortunately, that's not done, and we have a real problem when only one side is presented. The second question, Jerry, that I give to my audience is this. Does the church have anything to say to the state when the state overturns the moral law of God? And we know what that is. When we have abortion on demand, when the state decides that, when it gives its vote to that, that is overturning God's moral law. And Jesus did say a lot to the state. A lot of people don't think that he did, but he did. If we will read the woes of Jesus, the judgments of Jesus on the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites, and they were corrupt people of their day. They were, in my understanding and having researched this historically, they were the politicians and the spiritual leaders of the day combined. So the problem in the church today is best described, as I understand it, by Kevin DeYoung. You probably know him, Jerry, at Christ Covenant in Matthews, North Carolina, and he's board chairman of the Gospel Coalition. And he writes that the problem we are facing today is that we've been inoculated against Jesus's example in this area. We understand how inoculations work. It works because they give you a little bit of measured doses so that when you encounter the real thing, it doesn't bother you. Isn't that the danger many of us, maybe especially people like us, have with Jesus? Just enough Jesus to inoculate us against the real thing. Just enough church, just enough songs, just enough Christian music on radio, just enough conferences, just enough Christian books to inoculate us against the real teaching of Jesus, the real concern in this area, which I am convinced that he has, as far as the church is, as far as the state is concerned, when they literally overturn his moral law. And if I have time, Jerry, the third question, how can the church protect itself against godless and tyrannical government. The prayer is certainly the most important thing that we will ever do, but there is something else that Scripture teaches. It teaches common grace, which are God's blessings upon all people. The Dutch theologian Burkhoff summarized Calvin's position by saying, common grace curbs the destructive power of sin and makes an orderly life possible. So when the church says to the state, you have no spiritual authority to define God's moral law, e.g. whether or not abortion is murder, or whether there are two genders, or whether marriage is between a man and a woman, that power is vested in the Christian church as it teaches what God teaches in his word. And Jerry, I think that's a very powerful message, extremely powerful if we will teach it, if we will preach it. And it's also a very political message, and I don't have a problem engaging in politics, because politicians do listen. And when we consider a world population of 7.6 billion people, and out of that 7.6 billion people, 2.5 billion, or one-third of the world population, are Protestants and Catholics. And that's huge. And politicians look at numbers. But, Jerry, we're not united. If we were united, that would be a very, very powerful political statement, and it would be a very powerful spiritual statement. And but the church has to be careful there. We do make mistakes, and we don't want to misuse that authority and that power that we have. We don't want to go back to prohibition. Prohibition was wrong-headed to begin with. It was not a moral issue. It was just a social issue. So that's what I say, Jerry, to the churches and wherever I'm called upon to lecture. It's a critical point today. It's very much needed in our churches today, and the government, I'm convinced, will listen.
You know, it's funny you would mention prohibition. I was just thinking about that the other day, and I was thinking about the Bible verse in Ephesians 5, which says, do not get drunk with wine, for in this is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's one thing to say, do not get drunk with wine, don't abuse wine, but it's another thing to say, don't drink any wine at all or whatever,
right.
and that's a sin. And prohibition did that, and then, of course, prohibition, unfortunately, the law of unintended consequences kicked in, and prohibition, in some ways, I mean, it really did allow for the rise of the mob, which then terrorized our country for about four or five decades.
Well, sure, Jerry, and you're very wise. Catholic listeners and very wise Protestant listeners will understand that. Unfortunately, there are splinter groups that will teach an extreme. But what we're talking about are the wise Protestants, the wise Catholics listening, the wise Christian listeners. They understand this. And I think they also understand, if they are in tune politically, the power of politics, and politicians look at the numbers. They listen. But we're not speaking. We're not, I'm convinced, Jerry, we're not doing everything in the church. And I love the church. I want it to do better. I want it to be more forceful, and to say to the state, you, Mr. Politician or Mrs. Politician or Miss Politician, you do not have the spiritual authority to overturn God's moral law. That we define it because it's been given to us in Scripture. We define it for the state. And it used to be, Jerry, many, many years ago, that the church and the pastors did work with the state. They advise the state, and they were respected, but we are no longer respected today, and I think we have to own up to that. There's a reason we're not respected. It's because we're not using the power and authority that God has given to us in the church.
Well, let me give an example. The late Dr. D. James Kennedy, who was the ultimate founder of this radio station and with whom I had the privilege to work for his TV ministry and write some books and so forth together with him. But anyway, he once made this observation. He said that the Christian church, when it comes to the issue of abortion, has been pro-life from the very beginning to the very present. He said we were out there in the Roman Empire saving unwanted, you know, babies, and we were against abortion and providing loving alternatives all through these centuries. Only in the last generation or so in America has abortion become a political issue. And now we're somehow being accused of preaching politics and being partisan and so forth for speaking out against abortion. And he said, no, this is a moral issue, and, you know, I'm compelled by what the Word of God says. So I'd like you to elaborate on that, because talk about what can we do. We have just a few minutes left in this discussion. What can we do related to the issue of abortion?
Well, I think every church needs to have their particular program. I don't, and I'm sure you at D. James Kennedy Ministry have programs and that you have videos, and those are excellent. But I think every church, their conscience needs to change in this area, Jerry, so that they will feel comfortable in speaking to the state. Well, right now we don't. But we are intimidated by the state. We feel like there's this separation of church and state. And there's not. There's not constitutionally, there's not biblically a separation of church and state. So that needs to change. But we need to be teaching, especially our young people in church, because they don't understand. They're going to school. They're getting the complete opposite at school. And then their moms and dad are coming. They come home and moms and dads are tired. So, you know, they're not talking with their kids about the moral issues of the day. And there are plenty. You know, gender is you know, prominent, you know, and certainly the abortion issue is prominent, and certainly marriage and defining marriage is prominent. So if we have these discussions in church, I'm convinced that, you know, things will begin to change. But we've got to have the discussions. We've got to put it on our websites. Jerry, I have been to hundreds, thousands of websites of churches throughout the nations. I've yet to see one that has anything to do with church and state from a biblical perspective. So that's sad, but that can change. And once we see it, and hopefully through this medium that you have provided, there will be some listeners that will hopefully go to their church, their pastors, their deacons, their elders, and say, we need to do something. It's critical. And we need to do something about the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, because they're not getting it in school. They're getting the complete opposite. And we're going to suffer for this, but we don't have to suffer for it. But we need to do our job in order for us not to suffer.
And I think what it boils down to, too, is that a lot of pastors need to figure out, as they look at the passages that they feel called to preach from, and they consider then, how does this apply to us today? There are certainly moral implications and cultural implications to, you know, so many of these different texts, and they do relate to these moral issues. And, you know, it's important that we be faithful to God as opposed to being politically correct.
Well, true. We need to, I would say, turn to Ezekiel 33 and turn to Luke 10:25-37. Being a good watchman, Ezekiel 33, is just as important as being a good Samaritan, Luke 10-25. We need to have a plan in the church, and each church can develop their own plan. And I would encourage them to do this, to sit down, because every area is a little bit different. Every city, every state is different, and churches are different, denominations are different. But I think there's one thing, Jerry, that we can all agree on if we are a part of worldwide Christian denominations. And that is the moral issue, the Ten Commandments of God. We don't need to be legalistic about it, but we do need to say to the state, that's not your authority to define it, that God defines it. We merely give it over. You know, we advise the state. In fact, in my...
We're basically out of time. Go ahead.
Okay.
Finish the sentence.
Yeah, on the cover of my book, here is my quote. In matters of morality, the Christian church should navigate the ship of state.
All right. Charlie Rodriguez, author of the book, Who Defines Morality? His website is tanglewoodgroup.org. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.